Hey, you're listening to Panel by Panel, and we're about to tackle Planet Hulk. This episode is just the overview, so no spoilers, just here's why you should go read Planet Hulk, and in 2 weeks you're going to come back and we're going to discuss it again. I'm Epic Boss McFall, along with me, as always, the only person I'd love to do this show with, Uncle George Doro.
Hey.
So, George.
Time to smash.
This should be fun. There's lots of great lines in this one. Planet Hulk. When was the first time you read Planet Hulk?
This was it.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, awesome. So I read it the first time through, and then I re-perused it, you know, just skimming through it really quickly to refresh my memory.
Did you watch the animated movie straight to DVD?
I have not, but now I'm interested in trying to stream that or something.
So I remember, before we get into the book itself, I remember... back in my pirating days, when I worked at a company that actually the IT department taught me how to pirate, which is neither here nor there, I was trying to find things that entertain me through the day as I'm working, as I'm doing these reports that are mind-numbing and boring. I needed something to keep my mind going. And I was perusing one of the sites out there and found Planet Hulk. And I'm always a huge fan of the Hulk. Like, oh, what's this? And so I downloaded it and loaded it up, and I was watching it, and I didn't get any work done, man.
Imagine that.
Yeah. I learned at that moment, you don't watch good stuff while you're trying to work. You put that to the side and just watch the okay stuff. So anyway, that's neither here nor there, but one scene that really, really struck me to the core in the movie, that's changed a little bit for the book was the original, and they did it a little bit differently in the book. And it's not a spoiler, but at some point, these bombs are going off and these things are going on, and Hulk goes to rescue a child, and he gets hit by a bomb. And when the flames clear, he's standing there with ashes in his hands. Mm-hmm. And that... changed how I looked at it. Went from this is a cartoon to this is an animated film, and I wasn't ready for that. And it, oh my god, it gave me the feel so hard. It was so good. So we have you did an awesome thing here. You did a nice little outline of the book, and it is kind of broken down, even though Planet Hulk is this whole entire arc of 15 books or so, I think. I'm kind of going off of memory of glancing at the screen, but look.
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood, 13, 14, 15.
Yeah. So very, very doable, very, very quickly consumed, if you really like it, of course. But it's broken into two parts, right? Almost, they're not called this, but it's almost the slave part and the freedom part.
Actually, they broke down the story into three or four sub arcs. Like one is called Allegiance and one is called Armageddon, I think.
Yeah, I'm going back to the main browse page, because there's it really is only two stories to me. I know they broke it down to three, but for me it really only worked in the two, and that's the first four books were one story, and then it really grows into something far larger than that. But they called the first four we're in the Incredible Hulk, and it had a special banner, Planet Hulk, on it, and it was, give me the cover, come on, here we go, Exile, parts 1, 2, 3, 4, so the first four issues were Exile, is what they called it, and then, I know people like this official stuff, I just don't think of this, Anarchy, it was four parts, and then they broke it down even further. So they broke it down into parts. The first four were Exile. The second four were Anarchy, and then they kept titling them. Did you see it as those separate stories, George, or did everything flow pretty largely for you?
I think it flowed completely like it was a seamless graphic novel. If you had taken out the covers and the recap parts, I really wouldn't be able to determine where one issue ended and the next one began.
Yeah.
Because you could put the last page of one issue next to the first page of the next issue, and there'd be no break there. There'd be no it was seamless.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it flowed like a complete story. There was a beginning and a middle and an end in mind when Greg Pak wrote it, and it shows in the execution.
It I couldn't agree more. It just flowed. Now, if I were to tell you the two tones. So if you read The Lord of the Rings, there's three books, right? and each book has a different tone to it. You could have mashed that into one big movie, and you could have found those tones through part one, part two, and part three inside of one movie. Same here, is while this whole thing flows, I didn't agree with the breakdown that the editors gave it as far as a titling, you know, anarchy, exile, those kind of things. But there is definitely a swap where you have the gladiator days and the slave days, and then there's an epic meeting of a character that after that, everything changes. Then it becomes the freedom fighter, all this outside the control of one area story happens. And it has not two different feels, but definitely a part one and part two to me, that if you were to make a live action film, I'd want part one to be all the way up until the epic meeting of that character that we'll talk about in the spoiler edition. And then part two movie would be, here's what happens after. And then that, to me, that's the finale. And then, mm-hmm. of course, there's aftermath, which we're not going to get into today, which brings World War Hulk back to, that's when they call it World War Hulk, and he comes to Earth. So,
yes.
Well, let's hit these highlights in 92. Now, it starts off with something that everybody should know at some point in the history of the Hulk, is he was exiled from Earth. The Illuminati deemed him just too dangerous, just too much going on with his rage. He's too hard to control. And they tricked him into entering the orbit to destroy a rogue satellite. But then they're like, hey, you know, since you're there, yeah, you can't come back.
Yeah. Yeah, Reed Richards and the rest of the Illuminati, they're on a video that plays in the Hulk shuttlecraft. And it basically tells him, look, we're sorry, but we got to get rid of you. So we're going to send you someplace we'll be happy. And as things go in the Marvel Universe, it doesn't go quite right. And Hulk gets ticked off and starts smashing the interior of the ship. And, of course, that sets it off course until it hits a wormhole and he ends up on the planet Sakaar.
Yeah. Now, they had picked out a planet for him that was devoid of life, but it would be like a paradise planet and he could be all alone and not hurt anybody. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of what he wants in life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the way it came about that pissed yeah. him off. I mean, he's doing what they want. The line comes out later, is like, you know, puny humans, they always say they like you, but they want you to fight the monsters and you become the monster every time. Mm-hmm. You know, God, man, this was such a deep storyline.
Yeah.
But something interesting happened when he hit the portal, the wormhole, if you will.
Are you referring to the fact that he suddenly became a lot more vulnerable?
Yes. And yeah. he wasn't the only one, we find out later, but that worm is not just a wormhole. It's almost a beacon portal of sorts to mm-hmm. call warriors to that planet.
Yeah.
To feed them through this fighting machine to entertain the Red King.
Yeah.
And in doing so, somehow it saps strength, or mm-hmm. saps energy, I guess, in a way, because with Hulk, it's gamma energy that gives him his strength and his bulk and impenetrability. Mm-hmm. With the other character, it's, I think, cosmic energy. But, yeah, it seems to sap it. That
Yeah, it takes away a lot of his brute strength. And also makes him vulnerable to injury. So he gets cut and he bleeds.
Yeah, he gets out.
I've never seen happen to the Hulk before.
He gets out of the ship and he's like, you can't hurt the Hulk. And they hit him. He's like, what? And he's bleeding. And he's like, huh? So as a longtime reader, was that just an epic moment for you when you read that? Like, uh-oh. Did it set the whole tone for the story for you?
I think it helped because the Hulk has always been overpowered. There was never really much challenge in the stories that I had read before. For me, a little bit of Hulk went a long way. So I would pick up a few issues and feel like, okay, I'm kind of done with that for a while. And then the creative team would change, so I'd give it a try again. But it never really grabbed me for long. Depowering him a bit, making him a little more vulnerable and relatable, really helped launch this story.
And the, to me, the biggest tone set was, besides that, was that he absolutely was going to refuse to give in there. He was done. Mm-hmm. He was done with everything. He was so pissed. Mm-hmm. And they had weapons that could stun him and this and that and the other, but he refused to bow. He became a slave. They have these discs, they being the Sakaarans. They never really addressed themselves as a people.
Yeah.
They have this technology that enslaves him, so he can't resist. It'll, you know, basically torture him to death, essentially, if mm-hmm. he just resists. So he goes, he wakes up, busts out of his cage, and he's in this fighting arena, ends up knocking out all the bad guys, and they want him to bow to the king, and of course he won't. And that's a pretty interesting moment where the king comes down in this battle armor and is just kind of getting him, and he just does not know who he's messing with. So yes, Hulk is brute strength and finesse and knowledge and fighting skill gets you away from the Hulk. But when you underestimate him, as the king did, it turns on you. And he actually, for first time apparently ever in the history of the Red King, actually hit the Red King mm-hmm. and scars him on his face.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, well, this is going to end the story very quickly because, you know, obviously this is the kind of character that can't have that. And then things go from there. So the king throws him through more and more matches of hardship. Right. My yeah. overall feeling from this was scientific experiments almost. It was, okay, let's throw this next thing at him, and let's throw this next thing at him, and let's throw this next thing at him. And the Hulk just keeps coming through every time.
Mm-hmm. How can we torture him even more?
Yeah. Now, did you find the dynamic of building a team interesting? How they made everybody fight each other till only 7 stood left.
I don't know if I'd say interesting, because I did read World War Hulk when that came out, and so I was familiar with the members of the Warbound, as they end up calling themselves.
Right.
So I was expecting the gladiators to get whittled down to that group of characters.
See, I had not, even though I'd seen the movie, I didn't remember the group of characters necessarily until I came across them through the books again. Oh yeah, Meek and I can't remember the rest of their names basically, but
yeah, there's Meek, who's a sort of an insectoid, and Korg, the Stone Man, the Nameless Brood member,
right.
Captain Ski and his he's guarding another one of his race, Elo, and then a shadow shadow warrior named Heroim the Shamed.
Yeah, and every time I see Elo, I think of the Labyrinth. Did you say hello? No, I said hello, but whatever. I found that concept of a larger force, right? Forcing everybody to slaughter each other until the last 7 stand. You're just about to kill each other. Now you have to be a team. Mm-hmm. It makes for an interesting dynamic, and they wrote it, I think, very well. Mm-hmm. And then this team became the Warbound together. Now, the outside force, the Red King, the rest of them, don't call them that. They only call themselves that. But what that was is, hey, we understand we're going to die. All we can do is stick together. That's all we have is have each other. You know, the war binds us.
Yeah.
And that's how they became the Warbound. And they were put in some horrible situations where immediately Korg the Stone Man had to fight some of his own kind. And I just more and more and more things to the point that the definitely the surprise ending, and I see you listed in number 94, was the character that gets revealed. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they were there like, no, that's not really him. And it was. It was him. Yeah. Great line, and we'll get in deeper, of course. And again, we want to give you a reason to read this. This thing is so epic. It's Roman gladiators on a foreign planet with just not quite 7 different breeds of people. 7. I mean, you get the Hulk, who's a breed of himself. You get Meek, who's a bug. You get Korg, who's a stone man. That's why it's Korg the Stone Man. You get the Brood, which if you've ever read anything in Marvel with the Brood, that's just terrifying. And you get this great story about them and how they've turned into what they are. That was really cool. Then you get Captain Ski and Ello, who are together. They call them the Pinkies of the planet, but they're of the pink race. And then Hero Unashamed is a gray, slightly different variation on the same race of Ski and Captain Ski and Ello. But you have all these people together, and you're watching them just overcome and overcome and overcome. And then they drop a bomb, right? And the Hulk just does what he does. He's like, this is done. He jumps up and intercepts the bomb and protects everybody. What I loved about that was he keeps getting hurt,
mm-hmm.
right? He keeps getting scarred. His hair got burned off. His face got scarred. Mm-hmm. There's later on where he gets punctured with weapons and stuff. I find that is just so intriguing because I'm with you. I've never seen him bleed. I've never seen him stop. He gets worn out. He runs out of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And or if you use the thing they used in the original Hulk movie, which was okay. I didn't quite care for it, where he rode the airplane way up into the sky until he ran out of oxygen and just kind of passed out.
Mm-hmm.
Those kind of things. Or, in, of course, Age of Ultron, where he just gets hit so many times he gets knocked out.
Yeah.
But never seen him damaged, never seen him hurt. And, man, it just came there. So after they meet the special gladiator, overarching, you know, where do you want to go? Where do you think the story goes there?
Where do I think the story goes?
Well, I know where you. I mean, where do you want to talk about next? Because I know you know where the story goes. You read it, but I'm sorry.
I'm reading it. I read it, so I can't really make any guesses. Anyway, it was the major turning point of the story, at least the first one, and that's where it really takes off, like Spartacus in space.
Yes.
Hulk becomes this hero and eventually savior figure to the inhabitants of that planet who have been under the tyranny of the Red King's regime for so long. And the Warbound are, you know, they're along for the ride. They want revenge on the Red King, at least some of them do.
Right.
Others just want to find a peaceful place where they can live out their existence.
Right.
But until that can happen, they are bound together to fight the battles that ensue as the Emperor's forces try to track them down.
Yeah. So, we throughout the story, you hear of two things. There's like a no man's land that you don't go into. And then there's these wild bots, I think is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember if they're native life to the planet or if they were just built and set free, but they're basically wild robots just kind of running around out in the woods, and it keeps the people all in one area. So there's this shadow declaration, I think it is, that keeps the spikes out in the no man's land, and more or less it keeps people out of no man's land,
mm-hmm.
where the spikes were. It keeps the wild bots in the jungle, if you will, and then the people all live in these cities, and they're mm-hmm. all walled off and whatever. So yes, Hulk is in this band of merry men are going out into the wilderness, away, just away from the Red King. And that's his whole thing. He wasn't trying to lead this army. He wasn't trying to build an army. Hulk was just like, I'm done with that over there. I'm going over here where that's not. But people are following him. And they're joining, and of course, Meek, they free his people, and they start to build up that, and then other pink slaves, the rebels, you know, were freed from other slave cities. Because basically, as he goes forward, anything that stands in his way, he's just going to walk right through. And of course, the Emperor's outlying cities are there, and they're like, oh, for the Emperor, and he smashes the crap out of them. Although, great line going back to when he cut the Red King with the sword.
Yes.
He says, Hulk slash. Cut him in the face. It's that Hulk smash. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I had forgotten that one. That was good.
Yeah. So they're making their way through the wilderness. A lot of things change. Meek, and you don't even want to talk about what happens to Meek, but Meek is a great, almost buddy cop sidekick, right? He's the anti-friend, because Hulk, of course, wants no friends. He wants nothing to do with anybody for any reason. And in the first battle, he inadvertently saves Meek's life. And so Meek's like, oh, you're my friend. He's like, nope, you're a stupid bug. Leave me alone. And then another battle, he saves, like three times in a row, he ends up saving Meek's life. He's like, no, you don't mean that, because you save my life all the time. You're my friend. And it's like, Hulk is just doing Hulk. But in the midst of doing this, creates this following. These people believe he's the savior, right? They call him the Scar Son, which the king is called the Scar Son. So that becomes an issue really quickly. They call him the Green Scar instead. And he doesn't call himself anything. But there are those who believe he's the savior. There are those who believe he's a warrior sent to free people, or that just because he can, he should.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
there's also the possibility that he is the prophesied world breaker who will end up destroying Sakaar.
Right. And all of them kind of come along the same lines. And this thing just escalates more and more and more to, I think, I don't know if we can even talk about any of the end of this without spoiling anything. I'm going to let you give a shot at it, because everything I think of is like, no, that's a spoiler and that's a spoiler. Because as you see these reveals, as you see, what you have to listen to, what you have to understand is, as you're experiencing this story, even some of the little details change everything. And mm-hmm. it's just that revealing moment of, oh my goodness. And actually, it's more like, holy crap, what's next? It really hooks you like a movie or a graphic novel or a great book. This by far is one of the best things I've ever read. And I used to be a voracious reader of novels, just any novels. I've read Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged, from that to the Left Behind series when, you know, it came out in the 90s for the Christian church. And, uh-huh. and you just I read all kinds of things. And this hits the top of my list of one of the best written stories ever. So we're in the wilderness. George, do you think you can kind of give an overview to the end without spoiling, or should we just let them go read?
I think we can leave the spoilery stuff for the second part. But if the listener is familiar with the story of Spartacus or the movie Gladiator, you kind of get an idea of how the story is going to play out. Still getting there is all the fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's a Hulk book.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not read a Hulk book if Hulk loses.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's an epic, well, okay, Death of Superman, you know, he lost epically. That was worth reading. Mm-hmm. You know, that it was the cause of the loss that gets you there. So otherwise, it wouldn't be a Superman book. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a Hulk book. You know?
Right.
So,
and of course, we all know the Hulk survives because he's still being published. So there's no shocker there.
Yeah. On a rating of the set of books we did for Coverville or Coverthon, which was the Halloween books, the one with Elsa Bloodstone and
The Legion of Monsters.
Okay, so on a scale from Legion of Monsters, which you really didn't care for, it is really cheesy and it ruined a lot of your heroes, to most epic book of all time, where would you follow this for you?
This is way up there in the top 20%. It's probably easy for me to say that it's the best Hulk story I've ever read. Not including stories where he's part of the cast, but the stories that focus on Hulk.
Right.
This, I think, was probably the best one. It was very well written by Greg Pak. I really enjoyed the illustrations by Carlo Pagulian.
Yes.
I think that's how his name is pronounced. He did a really nice job as the clean kind of art that even though a sketchier style would have worked just as well for this storyline.
Yeah.
His clean style really pulled it off nicely for me. Very pleasing to my eyes.
I agree. I'm going to find some more stories by Greg Pak for sure. I think there was a Daredevil storyline that the only way I can describe it was drawn so dirty. Like it was just gritty and dusty. Not everything had even had details to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was like moving through shadows. I didn't really care for it in Daredevil. I understood where they were going with it. It just didn't strike me as well. But I could see that working here, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. Just something dirtier, grittier, whatever. But something about the cleanness of it, the sharpness, just gives you that it sets you up for the story better. Mm-hmm. Because you're visually not expecting some of the things that happen. And when you stop and let your mind rest on the depth of the darkness of what just happened in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, why would you lie to me, colorist? Why would you lie to me, illustrators? Because you gave me happy, bright colors, and that's not a happy, bright thing that just happened. So well done. So well done. All right, so
overall, I give it an A-. I think it was
awesome.
Really well done.
For the record, what's your all-time favorite best story, or what would be the epitome of comic for you?
Just off the top of my head, I'd have to say my favorite all-time comic was the last year of the original Tomb of Dracula series.
Okay.
It was starting to wind down, so Marv Wolfman, the writer there, he started tying up all the loose ends, and the 70th and final issue was just, at that time, I thought it was the best comic I'd ever read. It was just... every note was hit perfectly and really satisfying.
Well, there you go. So there's your comparison.
That is my A+.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. You've got 2 weeks. Go read Planet Hulk. It's 16 books. Maybe it's very easy to read, very easy to get through. Come back. You'll get the spoiler edition of Panel by Panel. So read up and get ready.